Hello, new universe maniacs. Welcome back to the Spinner Rack here at season five, the final season of the Marvel New Universe Comics podcast, the voice of the new universe. As usual, we are your hosts,
Steven with Justice number 29 and
Andy, with yet another backup story. Not sure if I should be excited about that or not anymore, but I get to do something. The new universe was launched in 86 as an imprint from Marvel Comics dedicated to a more grounded and less fantastic approach to comics. The original idea was the world outside your window and included real-time progress. The new universe has changed a lot in 2 years, and now we're headed into 1989. The world knows about paranormals, and the US government has started capturing and drafting them into the army and the CIA. Pittsburgh has been destroyed, forming the Pit and creating new, sometimes twisted paranormals, and apparently a volcano and some ash and smoke. Only a few issues remain for each surviving series. The stack is dwindling, and they all seem to be heading towards war. With our podcast, of course, you can follow along with us each week as we go through each remaining comic, the order they came out, or just check out individuals if you already have a favorite. And you know how we feel about that. Don't do
Is
it.
this your favorite?
Could be.
Could be.
All right. We have a website, kickersinc.com, though we don't always update it. And you can find us on X at Kickers
Where we don't always update
Inc.
it. This week we get back to Justice. Having had his life almost destroyed by a powerful paranormal, John Tinson dubbed himself Justice and gave himself a mission. To travel the land, find other paranormals, and judge whether or not they are using their powers properly. This week, Justice 29. Deep in the frozen wastelands of Siberia, Justice and the Medusa Web must battle their way to the headquarters of the top secret Siberian project. If they don't make it, Psi-Force is doomed.
Ah!
Written by Peter David and illustrated by Lee Weeks. Direct sales only. $1.50.
Yeah, and we also get a backup story starring Voight and Michael Dukakis, right?
All right.
Right. And if we have time, maybe to talk a little bit about the crossover, or just move our cameras around distractingly.
What? Is that bothering you when I do this? How about this? Let us see how it goes, I guess. Justice number 29, which we believe is cover dated March 1989, and hit the stand probably at November 29, 1988. That's a lot of 29s, so I don't know.
There's a lot of nines, yeah.
The cover has a kind of an action scene. It's got Justice and a young woman, maybe, who could either be Kathy Ling or Gatto de Sangue, Sangue de Gatto. Anyway, there's another person. Behind them, there's a war going on, a big crowd scene. And behind that, there's Justice and the other person seem to be dodging like some strafing from some helicopters that are coming from overhead. And but behind that, there's superimposed this sort of red skull.
Oh, yeah, I missed the skull until now.
Yeah, I missed it at first, I know, because it was a I'm gonna say that's our last guest star making his appearance. And it says guest starring Psi-Force, and that's it. It is by Lee Weeks. Looks good. Hopping inside, we have just the usual sort of intro text for Justice. The creative team is the standard Peter David writer. Lee Weeks credited to art, so he's doing penciling and inking this time, apparently. Pretty
I
good
thought that was going
job.
to be a fake out, but we got Lee Weeks, so I'm happy.
Yeah, I think I'm hoping. More than like knowing that he's going to stick through to the end, just people generally said the These sort of late stage creative teams will stick around, so we're counting on you, Lee. The book
What are you
opens
talking
up.
about? I finished this in 1989.
I worked on what? I don't remember what you're talking about at all. We open with a sort of a journal entry. Today is the first day I've decided to start keeping a diary. Luckily for this book, it explains everything I've been doing and thinking about. It is Victor Pasco, aka Kleenex, and he is thinking a lot to himself as he is still visiting with and keeping an eye on Angela Tenson, who is still in the hospital. So he is a journal and the illustrations sort of go along with it. At any rate, Angela woke up today. I could hardly believe it. When someone you love is in a coma, it's like looking down a long tunnel, but there's no light there. I just look back at what I wrote without thinking. Love, as if I stood a chance with her. At any rate, I was at attraction and up for visiting her again. And he says that she just opened her eyes finally, but she still has this like zombie look. Like she has, since she'd come back from the cemetery. He sneezes since she's awake and paranormal. And he says, she hardly reacted. She just said, real distant, hello, Kleenex. Where's my father, please? Kleenex? She always calls me Victor, not Kleenex, like the others do. Like I told everyone to, apparently. What's your code name? Kleenex. Anyway, he said he feels hurt, but he just said he doesn't know. She just kind of nodded and forgot about me. So Angela Tenson still isn't all there. On the other hand, her father isn't here at all.
Yeah, I like this little bit where Kleenex is actually like a real person, a little more than just someone who wanders onto frame and sneezes. Also, the fact that, like, Angela's really kind of messed up with like PTSD after like a really horrible and freaky and unusual thing happening to her. Like, seems realistic, right? A new universe-ish almost.
Yeah, it's going by in just weeks, and her trauma was pretty severe, so that's always a hallmark of the new universe is if someone's in a coma that, and for months they are in a coma for months.
Right.
Months. So anyway, we move to the next couple of pages are the splash page for this issue, and it's got the old Justice narration back. I am Justice, and I can think of places I'd rather be right now than here. And whereas here is on a helicopter that is being chased by several other helicopters. Are those the Hindees? I don't know. It's rather bad. Badass looking Soviet attack helicopters are chasing the chopper that Justice is apparently riding on.
Colonel, what's a Russian gunship doing here?
Oh, here it
We're
is.
actually in Russia, you fool.
What were we doing here if we wanted to avoid the
But
Russians?
yeah, that's the Hind helicopter, which
Says three
apparently,
Soviet Mi-24s. Okay.
yeah, it's apparently still in use. Like the Ukrainians and the Russians are still using them to try and kill each other.
Amazing. Yeah, the all Metal Gear fans will remember these guys from that. But anyway, Justice is thinking to himself, for reasons of my own, I've aided the network known as the Medusa Web in rescuing the young paranormal group called Psi-Force. And luckily they put that in the logo too.
Yeah, we got double logo, super splash page.
Awesome. From their imprisonment in the Siberian Project. Siberian Project does not have a logo
No.
yet.
Or a trademark.
You could have it, letter writers were still asking for other books. So, a Red Sun book,
Oh,
that would be
yeah.
interesting.
If any of them survive.
You'd never expect that. Now, as we flee across the Soviet tundra, that is not tundra, it is a mountain range. in the Webb's transport chopper. The Sovs are showing a keen interest in recovering their prize prisoners. So Justice is up bothering the pilot, who was called Dust Off in one of the short stories before, but I don't know if it's the same guy. They've got at least a couple of helicopters. So there's one that's transporting them and another one that's like backing them up. And Justice is asking the guy about that. He's on the headset phone, talking to Babel or something. So yeah, another chopper comes up behind the Soviet choppers and starts firing on them. And so we got like some back and forth with these gunships. Good sort of military level action going on here. Justice notes that they don't seem to be attacking directly so much as kind of driving them in a direction, and he doesn't really like it. I do not like it at all. Flash over to the Siberian Project headquarters, where mostly we see Comrade Zemansky sort of coordinating this response. And
Everybody remembers Zemansky, right?
yeah, if only he had like a cool name or something. Like,
Yeah.
Green Cube guy, something like that. Justice is surrounded by, I think, Troublemaker and Potiphar. And he's musing about how odd these people are. And it's all to rescue the four members of Psi-Force. And then a little more internal monologue. A group I have sworn to obliterate. Their crimes are undeniable. Wait, what? In their collective persona of Psy-Hawk, they battled the Russian madman Rodstvow. We get a very quick glimpse of this. Uncaring of the damage they inflicted on innocents such as Victor, Kleenex, Pasco. You never cared about Victor. Come
He
on.
hurt his leg. That's unforgivable.
Angela wanted revenge, and when I balked, again with the balk, something awful happened to her. Something I can only see as divine punishment. So I swore that I would make up for that my hesitancy by carrying out Angela's request. Then came the alliance with the Medusa Web, and they hooked up in the NSC offices a couple of issues ago, and then the raid on the Siberian Project. So the whatever Marvel Age solicit is off in that they've already gotten out of the Siberian Project.
Thank goodness. I was hoping we didn't get like a recap issue.
Yeah, we were a little worried that this was just going to be, hey, you remember that time we were in the Siberian Project? Let's look at it from this point of view.
Yeah, ain't no time for that, I guess. So they're moving it along.
They are. This is truly the Siberian Project 3.5 or something,
Yeah, I wish it had the crossover numbering system, but.
Yeah, or as you noted, the covers for the Psi-Force issues all fit together. If this one had been able to like squeeze in the middle, that would
Yeah,
have
that would
also
have been
been pretty
cool.
awesome. Anyway, Justice thinks that he is when they were rushing around so much and getting out of there, he hardly looked at Psi-Force. And now that he's there on the helicopter with them, he thinks they're just a bunch of children. Innocent children caught up in battles beyond anything they're accustomed to. Can't be that much older than Angela. One of them, the girl Lindsay, reminds me so much of my daughter. Oh man. People keep talking up Lindsay all the time.
Right. All these children with similar haircuts that make them hard to discern, especially when we put them in identical matching outfits.
I gotta say, they took Damon Dusha with them, I believe, but I don't see him on panel anywhere in this issue. So, unless that's him next to Lindsay in this page six
I'm
with
guessing it
dark hair.
is just with Myth's colored hair.
So, it should be Thomas, Wayne, Kathy, Lindsay, and possibly Damon are all on there. Justice flashes back to a memory of They had found the Wayne's earring, the cross, in the rubble after the they were, I guess, stolen by Rothschild. And we see Terence Updike giving it to Miriam Morris, aka Playback, and trying to get a read on it, but she does not pick up on anything. She just says, you know, that's her power, it won't always work. So, and she doesn't get anything out of it. He hands it over to Justice and he says, you know, maybe it'll give you an edge. So Justice is carrying Wayne's earring along on this mission for luck, I guess.
Yeah, something.
The out exterior shot of the helicopter has an explosion nearby. And Justice says, something needs investigating. Stay here. Thomas tells Kathy to go with him. And Justice is back with the pilot. And before Justice can like do something with his sword and shield, Kathy says, no, let me handle it. I feel like I've been jerked around forever. I've been looking over my shoulder so long, I got a strained neck. I'm stopping it here. Here and now. And sort of power crackles around her. And I'm not really quite sure what happens with that helicopter, but it explodes in the next panel.
Yeah, that little panel of her making the face and but at the bottom of seven is like my favorite of the issue. Like for some reason, that's just tight.
I feel like they mixed her up a little with Michael Crowley, though. Like, there are people whose power is to explode things, and Kathy's is just to be telekinetic. So,
Don't know. She
I
squished
don't
all of
know.
the ammunition. Who knows?
Russians don't even have time to scream as Kathy Ling's telekinetic power blows them apart. Justice, of course, is bound to uphold the law. Ooh, the loss of life troubles me not at all. Oh, okay. After all, they hardly had our best interests at heart. What disturbs me is this child's cold-hearted hearted manner. She's just sort of, all right, there you go. This is a helpless, innocent child? What the heck?
What kind of crazies am I on the helicopter with here?
They're actually blowing up the other helicopters. I don't know what to think now. So the recon helicopter has been hit, and so both of them head down into like a empty field. One of them's landing kind of rough. The paranormals get off of the troop transport one, and Justice is thinking it's a setup. I'm sure I saw the flash of ground fire. Wayne Tucker inside the helicopter still can read that there's people around. He tells them, get back in the chopper. They're all around us. Babel, Justice, guys, they're all around us, hidden in the snow.
Get
So,
to
yeah.
the chopper.
So,
Wait,
yeah, it's the classic
wrong voice.
snowfield where everyone just pops up out of, like, oh no,
Right.
Russians in the snow?
That's what they
Meanwhile,
do.
it is true. The we meanwhile back to the US, and according to the dialogue, we have Coney Island. Folks are walking around, and it turns out it is Playback again with Chauncey, Terrence Updike's assistant, and what's his name, Laialoa, the shutterbug,
Yeah.
basically the super big guy. They're wandering around Coney Island and talking about how crap it is.
But
Ashes all
because of
over
the
the
pit,
place.
not just like a commentary on how much they don't like Coney Island.
Yeah, years before, what was that, Jersey Shore and the good
Yeah.
people you meet. Intelligence reports said weather changes from the pit were making New York uninhabitable, but just reading about it doesn't sum it up, you know? Talk about when they were a kid and they came here. That's maybe Chauncey, but it was nothing like, you know, nothing like this. We're the only ones here. Place is dead. Hold that thought, Chauncey. Miriam draws in maybe the ash on the ground, and it's MM plus CH. Chauncey blushes.
Chauncey. Do we have a last name on that guy?
No, I don't think so.
Hennigan?
Amamamamoto. Oh, you're sweet, Miriam. Isn't she sweet, Rudy? And Rudy, the big guy. Great. I'm supposed to be working with NSC agents, and I end up working with Sugar and Spike.
Like,
Sugar and Spike were two DC characters, I believe. Well, it was like a kid's comic. Anyway.
Rudy's like, why are we here and what is the purpose in the story? We don't
Are we just distracting people from the action? Yeah, maybe. I don't know. They walk along a pier, and this is a little more like curious. He says, "What's the story here? I thought there were reports of paranormals holed up nearby. That's why we're here, isn't it?" "I don't know. I know, but I got this gut feeling. It's a wild goose chase." And as they walk along, this sort of shot from underneath the pier that they're walking on suddenly has like is like illuminated by a couple of eyes, maybe
angry eyes.
angry eyes. And then it's a wild goose chase, take my word for it. We sort of focus in on those eyes with this glow going on around it.
Yes, it's supposed to be there's glowing eyes there, and then we cut to the Russian eyes thing, or is it just kind of like a transition and it's not really there? That's what I don't know.
I think we've got eyes in Coney Island, and then we've also got different eyes in Russia, and it's transitioning to Rod Strow eyes, basically,
Okay.
which are
So we got
yelling.
so there would be a purpose to that being in the story then. Something in the future. Scary eyes.
I think so. I don't know if that's like my memory more than a extrapolation. So I'm going to say it's possible that's like connected to something. And the transition is meantime, back in the USSR, which I believe is a reference to an old Beatles song. Anyway, Zemansky. Did you hear that? I heard nothing, Comrade Zemansky. Don't drag me into this. It's just between you and Rodstrow. I'm
I'm
over here. Don't.
going on my lunch break.
He says, "I'll be right back." "Rodstrow, it's you, isn't it? I'm coming, Rodstrow.
I'm
Rodstrow, are
coming.
you in here? Where are they? The Psyhawk children. I want them." They're gone. It was Kujichisku's fault. Not me. Not me. Not Szymanski's. They're gone, but we have them pinned down in Sector 6, and Red Sun will be. "No, you needn't worry about them again. In fact, when I return, you needn't worry about anything again." If
Bratzfeld has a lot of lines in the next comic, you're toast with that. You've set yourself up for bronchitis there.
What was it? Like they said his voice was like burning oil in one of them or
Yeah.
something. I was trying to bring that back a bit, but
Was pretty good. That's just, yeah,
to be honest, my mic will like die if I go over a certain volume, so I
yeah.
gotta kind of be careful with that.
Gotta keep it gravelly.
We switch over to the outside where Justice is using his shield. To protect his comrades. They are all getting shot at by a lot of Soviet army guys. And Troublemaker doesn't care. "Get out of our way. Justice, we don't need your pretty shields. Not when Troublemaker's here to do the job." He flips around and punches a guy. Okay.
Yeah. I feel like this part is the least new university just because like they're like 20, 15 feet away in the snow on the high ground with guns. And then he's supposed to just run up to them and punch them and like nothing bad happens to him. Like,
Don't should I use your my shield to protect it? No, man, I don't need that. I don't
he'll
need
just
it at all.
All 20 of them will be reloading for 5 minutes while I run up there.
Troublemaker is obnoxious, but effective.
Troublemaker should have a gun.
Yeah, the we've got these are all nice views of Justice firing his sword and Skybreaker just clocking someone. Then we got sort of another like scene of mano a mano chaos, like one to one stuff with the various Medusa web and Justice versus these Russians. Outnumbered though we may be, thanks Justice, our opponents are still merely soldiers while we are what we are. I feel as if the other shoe has yet to drop, he thinks as he chokes out a guy.
Yeah. Oh, another great panel, by the way, with the guy getting choked.
It's yeah, the like expressions on Justice in particular, but I think most of them are pretty good. I that Lee Weeksian he's got, you know, it's really high on his talent set list. Incoming, another Soviet chopper. Get ready, everybody. Just as I thought, Red Star, which just a page ago was Red Sun. It is, in fact, Red Sun. The paranormal's connected with the Siberian Project. So there's the shoe. And now we only have to unlace it. Unfortunately, there's only two members of Red Sun left.
Right.
The Kujichesku, the woman with the green cubes, and Shivotnaya, the animal woman.
Right. Neither of them really should be that dangerous in a firefight.
If you've got like 50 guys with guns, I'd stick with that. Sure. Okay. And then a very curious series of when Troublemaker going back into the helicopter. Hey, Tweety boy, do you and your buddy get out here before we get our butts kicked or something? And Thomas tells him, you want to be of use, Troublemaker? Bend over. And he's got something in his hands. Oh, sure, right. Like I'm gonna. I said bend over now. I have no idea what's going on here. There's like a shadow that where like the troublemaker is cussing them out or something. Frassen, frassen, razzin, frassen.
So is like he's strapping Wayne to Troublemaker's back so he can take him to safety or into the battle?
I
But the bend
couldn't.
over thing is a
Oh,
little
you're
off.
right. You're right. If you flash ahead to 20, Wayne is being carried on the back of Troublemaker.
Oh, dang. Yeah, I totally didn't pick that up at all.
This was just a mystery to me until you said that.
Yeah. Hey, teamwork makes the dream work.
Woo-hoo! Good
It
job. Well, that's certainly I'll have to take all
certainly
my
beats sodomy.
I heard people talking about this new Joker movie, and you know, let's just say there's rough stuff in there, apparently. I don't
Definitely,
know.
definitely not going to go see it.
I think I'll pass. Justice is using the sword on fools, but realizes he's lost track of, oh, what's that one's name? Oh, Animal Woman. And Shvotna grabs him from behind. He throws her. Says that she sliced his forehead. Hard to believe she was once human. Wait, what am I thinking? She is still human. She's coming towards him and dodging his sword. Hideously deformed, little more than a slavering beast, but human. Don't worry, my child. I'll end your torment. He's getting blood in his eyes. She tackles him. It's ripping into him, and he's got his sword hand ready to just erase her. Sword hand, swift and merciful. Vaya con Dios, animal. No, Thomas Boyd rescues him right at the last second. Don't worry, Whitey. I got her. Thomas Boyd, he saved me. Or at least he believes he did. Justice sort of sits there thinking about things while Thomas beats Shivotna half to death. Tell me, O Lord, where is the evil in that? I watch as he drains the energy from her. And then, cursing furiously, he hits her, and hits her, and hits her. And she shrieks as several bones snap, and he laughs, and he hits her again, and again. And she's barely moving, and he hits her, and I take it all in, sitting in judgment. Ah, it feels good to take a break sometimes.
Watching a sort of woman beaten to death.
Usually I have to pay money for this sort of entertainment, but it's free this time.
Wasn't she like a young kid too? Or
14, 15. Yeah. She's actually younger than, Cyforce. But he notices that he dropped the cross he had brought, but Thomas seems to stomp on it into the snow, and Justice just forgets about it. However, he does grab Thomas. That's enough. She can't hurt you anymore. Don't be more of an animal than she is. She's just kind of lying there in the snow. What, I should feel sorry for her or something? Think she'd care if she killed me? Thomas runs off. You're really some piece of work, man. And hey, don't thank me or nothing. Cyforce does sound more like real teenagers in this, which is to say sort of...
A little bit, yeah.
Abrasive.
Ungrateful SOBs.
You're welcome. Yeah. We switch over to, as I said, another potential model for the cover. This woman is running through the snow thinking, what was this one again? Cooge something? Oh, right. I remember. Long name meaning cubic, which Nisienza told me I was going to have to work into this book. And I was like, no, thank you. Anyway, she'd probably have as much luck with Gatto di Sangue as I have with her name. Gatto is, of course, Italian, as you could guess by her name. Why she is thinking in English is left to the reader. She sees another gun being leveled at her and thinks to herself as she jumps around, Gatto, you've got to get out of this business. Do something sane, like Olympics again. No one pays nothing, but no one shoots at you. Definitely, this is my last gig for the Medusa web. I'm definitely retiring after this mission.
A strange time for character development of for the first time ever.
Yeah, this is one of the characters that was chasing Stassi in San Diego.
And it must have been the one we saw like in a panel in the helicopter in a previous issue, and we're like, who's that?
It's very, she's very, I mean, her hair is short, so you mix her up with Kathy easily. So, but yeah, if she's out and doing stuff, she jumps around well. So that's her.
Right. Just get out of the helicopter. What are you going to do? I don't know. Dodge bullets for a while. Maybe that'll distract them.
Her powers are amazing. How can we ever fight this? We've got Kujichisku. This is Szymanski at the project. Rodstvo is coming. More headphone communiques. Kuj thinks, good, we can use the help. Nope, bad, very bad. I believe Rodstvo is now completely out of control. I believe he's going to kill every paranormal he sees. I believe he's become so powerful that he has decided only he has the right to exist. And I believe he has the power to put that decision into effect. You are all in grave danger. Dos vidanya.
See you later.
It is do svidanya, not dos vidanya. Like there's two vidanyas in Spanish. But that's
first,
just
you're
me.
Correcting the geography, and now you're correcting the language.
I'm fine with characters acting out of character and messy continuity, but once you start playing around as if Spanish is Russian, I draw a line.
A line in the pit sand.
Next page, we switch over to Wayne, yes, being carried by a troublemaker, and Kathy is there as well. She's telling him, look, shove down in the snow. It's your cross. I'll put it back in your ear, Wayne. She means telepathically. She's not reaching for it herself. Wayne is scanning, and he communicates to Babel. Babel, this is Wayne Tucker. Something's wrong. The Sovs are backing off. Kubik's shouting things to the soldiers. I can't make out. Maybe I should scan her. And Babel replies, don't bother, Tucker. Let's not look a gift horse you know where. Let's just get out of here. Broadcast my order to everybody. Thomas tells Justice, hey, Whitey, what are you, brain dead? Prophet is not without respect, only in his own title is what I'm picking up here. Anyway, he says, we're getting out of this place. Justice says, not yet. What do you mean, not yet? There's still something that must be attended to. There is a matter of reckoning, of balancing the scales. Justice is telling this to Thomas with blood dripping down his face, although his eyes are starting to white out with the glow. Behind them, we see some more paranormals fighting with Russian soldiers still. I'm not quite sure what's going on, but there's a... whatever. Another telepathic signal. Skybreaker, Potiphar, let's go, go, go. They complain about getting thought broadcast orders. But Justice is just warming up. He's still talking to Thomas. It's a matter of destruction caused by two beings who fought above Washington, D.C. and didn't care who might be injured. And one of those beings was called Shoom. That's the sound effect of whatever is going on over this field. Babel on board his helicopter. Something shut down the entire system. We're dead. And then we turn the page for a last page splash. It is Rodsfow looking less human than ever. Yeah. He doesn't seem to have a face anymore. He's more of a skull.
No human parts left. Just weird glowing energy stuff.
Yeah, so let's see. Justice was saying one of those two beings was called, and then Thomas blurts out, Rodstvow! You were going to say Rodstvow! Cripes, how did you know he was going to show, Whitey? Justice thinks to himself, actually, I was going to say Psyhawk. John Tenson, master of timing. That's me. Anyway, next. Continue with a little, cutesy, I guess. But anyway, next, continued in Psi-Force number 30 and concluded next issue with Psi Unseen.
We're running out of Psi puns, so we got to end this story.
We did say that the first one, that the title of this story is Heavy Psi, right? Heavy Psi. I'm not sure I bought that enough. Okay, what do we think of Justice 29?
Dang. Yeah, I was obviously, I mentioned it already a little bit, but I was happy to have Lee Weeks back so we didn't have like cripplingly bad art in the issue or anything like that. But I actually really liked it. I thought it was a lot of fun. The one thing, the ending, and kind of the one thing that I don't like about it is that Justice is still sort of obsessed with Psyhawk being the bad guy that he needs to take revenge on rather than Rodstvow or even both of them. Like that seems a little off.
Yeah, as you know, like a rational view of this might have been like him like refusing to leave the Siberian Project until he could confront Rodstrow or something like that. Maybe that's just my expectations.
Yeah, but that would have made more sense.
Yeah, it's like I came here to kill this guy. You know, you guys take off, great, sure, whatever.
Right,
I've got business.
Otherwise, he could have just stayed home, and they would have brought Psi-Force kids back anyway.
Hey, you're back. Starts warming up the sword arm. Yeah, some of that's a little, I don't know, is it just like a comic book trope, you know? Like, Thor's gotta go fight Hulk, otherwise,
yeah,
you know,
maybe.
It does feel a bit like you're not giving the character enough credit for being, you know, rational.
Yeah, I did like how He's kind of like back on his mission, right? So he's like paranormals who abuse their power. And then even like those bits on the helicopter, and then like with Kathy, and then especially the fight, you know, when he gets kind of saved by Boyd, you know, where like he's he's justice, right? Like he's passing judgment, right? He's like black and white, you know, erase the bad guys kind of thing. But then he's like watching these kids be like cold and emotionless and violent and like killers, and it's kind of freaking him out a little bit, like that role reversal that he's, you know, seeing them
Okay.
being awful, and it's kind of like shaking him a little bit. Like I really like that part. And yeah, I think especially like where he's watching that poor like Shvotnia get like annihilated, and I just start feeling bad for her.
Yeah, she's not a character who's ever had any lines, so you don't think of her too much as a person, but yeah, even Justice is feeling bad at some point watching this beat down go down. Yeah, it was pretty, you know, in terms of what's going on, it was all super fast, a lot of action going on, several scenes, you know, other characters being checked in on, but not sort of overstaying their welcome. In general, the action was a little more followable. I guess it was just sort of one big fight scene with
Yeah.
kind of a, you know, the helicopter, you know, fighting, shooting each other. They go down, soldiers pop up. There's sort of back and forth for a while. It's more, you know, more clear than the Psi-Force issue where they're in the Siberian Project and they're kind of running around and like crazy people. I don't know.
Yeah, it would have been nice if the Russian soldiers were like shown as remotely threatening or competent, you know, like they're kind of like menaced by the helicopters a little bit, but then all the fights with the soldiers are just soldiers getting like punched or zapped or killed, and like no, nobody's like pinned down, shot in the leg, you know, a B character gets almost killed, you know, we could have had a little
That's
something
why,
there.
yeah, that's what I thought Gato Sangua was going to be there, but she just kind of danced off and okay. And I mean, you've got, I don't know, Backfire and Imprint and Troublemaker, any one of which can take a bullet and, well, back, yeah, but, you
Why is Imprint running out of the helicopter, right? Like, maybe
know.
not your best plan.
Yeah. Lindsay, why don't you just stay in your seat? Not done. Don't move. Yeah, I don't know. After the last, you know, we were all a little concerned about what we were going to see this time, how well it was going to stitch together with the Psi Force issue. I'd say pretty well. This has been, yeah, it's just like a fun ride for me. There are some good character moments of him kind of, okay, I'm back on my mission, but do I want to be as brutal as I usually am, all that again. But overall, definitely didn't, you know, like good times and no real downtimes to it. So I was
Yeah.
pretty happy with it. Say definitely Nukin.
Oh yeah.
I feel like about a B. It's like kind of middle of the road for me in terms of like how psyched I was by it. Maybe a little
Okay.
more, a little high on that.
Yeah. First read, I would agree with you. Second read, I don't know, I really liked it. So I'm diverging to A minus.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Great inflation, maybe. I don't know.
It's getting close to the end of the semester here. Maybe it's time we start inflating those grades.
Timmy's got a pass.
Yeah, what was I gonna say? I was gonna say something else and it's gone now. Okay, great.
Yeah, I just wonder what's left, right? Like again, like there's not many issues remaining. And it seems like they're still setting up things a little bit, right? So like what's gonna happen with Angie? We don't really know. And what's up with like the eyes underneath the docks kind of thing? Like that seems like that would be getting the next story arc ready, but we're as we've seen Yeah, I mean, this is the last of the issue 29s, and then this crossover, at least for Justice, will end at 30, and then there's not much time left, so.
I could say the eyes under the boardwalk, maybe like there were some eyes we'd seen a couple of issues ago. You remember?
I don't. What was that?
Okay. I worry about spoiling people.
Okay.
So, as I said before, I was reading Justice. I was not reading Psi-Force originally, and I re only sort of remember a vague, like, frustration with Justice, and I don't remember if I dropped it early or what. But this would have been terrible for me with no Psi-Force. It would have meant nothing, all these characters,
Oh,
and
right, yeah.
would have been. So it's the real danger of crossover. If you don't have everyone buying in for everything, oh man. So whether that helped them or hurt them, I don't know. At this point, the new universe was pretty well tied together. So as you say, if you're going to cross over, maybe not a long crossover when you're this kind of close to the edge. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I don't know. Like climactic fight, Justice and Rodspell was something I was kind of hoping for. So
That is
you're
true.
gonna end on a bang. That seems like a good bang to end on.
I feel like they're going to, I don't know. It becomes like a question of like, yeah, would you put that into the Psi-Force book or the Justice book? So should they have already been confronting Rodstvow? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I don't know.
seems like we're getting both, I guess, right? So the story continues in Psi-Force 30, so it's gonna pick up with Rodstvel squaring off against everybody.
Yeah, so then what'll happen in the next Justice? I'm not honestly sure what to expect
Yeah,
from that at
unless it's just
all.
all battle in Psi-Force, like Infinity Gauntlet Thanos kind of thing. Everybody's just getting nuked,
Sure.
who knows?
Well, let's see. You want to take a look at the backup?
Only if it's the will of the people. Whoa.
Oh.
Oh, this is a weird one, but then I think it's got like a redeeming feature a little bit after I thought about it. But
It
yeah.
seems to go weirder and weirder, I swear.
The will of the people. Fabian Nicieza, writer of basically every backup now, I guess. And then we got Mike and Val Gustavich as artists. So anyway, pick up with Philip Nolan Voigt, who's now president in the city that sounds made up, Arkadelphia, Arkansas. Like Arkansas was jealous that they wanted their own Philadelphia.
It
Probably real, but
seems
it
like a
just
real place to me. I forget
it
why.
sounds silly.
Is that where
Anyway.
Clinton was from? I forget.
Best not to think about that. He shuffles his feet, breathes stale, used gymnasium air, and pulls the lever. In Cambridge, Massachusetts, she wonders how the f faculty party will go if she'll sneak off with the teaching assistant for some real fun. She smiles and she pulls the lever. So there's like people voting for Voight here. So from coast to coast, border to border, they wonder why. Some scratching their heads, some rubbing their migraine-stabbed foreheads, and they all pull the lever. We don't get levers anymore. They all fill in the dot with the marker provided. Not as
I was so like they've switched it like several times just in like the going to the same place every few years and like all right, I know what to expect now, and they'd completely change the machines and like oh
Yeah.
great. They
Where
did
I'm
that
at,
two or
it's
three
been
times.
a big Scantron for a while, so hasn't changed too
Arkadelphia
much.
is a city of 10,000 people.
Okay. It's hiding out or
Arkansas.
something. So yeah, and they all make Philip Nolan Voigt the president of the United States. God help them. And it's got him like sitting in a room filled with screens, right? Basically, for some reason.
It's like Babel's Office from a couple issues ago.
Yeah. I particularly like the like triangular built-in monitors on his desk. Like, it's like, I don't have enough screens. Presumably he's like watching the news or something, but
It's like it's like too high tech to be like just the Oval Office, so I'm not quite sure where what's the deal, but
yeah. Anyway, I mean, this is chock full of like fun narration that I like. So there's like a knock at the door. Still, it hadn't been that easy. It says, and the man who would be king watches it all, a playful twitch tugging in his taciturn mouth, a wistful, knotted little part of him wishes it hadn't been so easy. But yeah, so he talks about, he took him a couple of days to get all the delegates sort of brainwashed with his power that we don't quite understand yet. 3 months to get the voters to understand. So again, like unclear exactly how close he needs to be to people to convince and brainwash them, or what the limits of his powers are. But
you really only need to brainwash a couple of people in the media, really. They'll sell it for you, I guess. But
And so two guys walk in. He's like, oh, it's time to meet your supporters. They're all waiting. And they're like, congratulations, Mr. President. And voice says, thank you, Michael, which I'm assuming is Dukakis.
that's, yeah,
But
it
it's
looks
not
like.
really, I don't know. I don't have like an image of him in my head, so I don't even know how accurate the drawing is, but.
It's very generic, but it's okay. There's two guys, and one of them is a supposedly Michael Dukakis. The other one he calls Mr. Cheney, but it's not like Dick Cheney.
Yeah.
And I have no idea who that person's supposed to be.
Yeah.
That's
I
the
mean, it could
thing.
just be an original character, but.
It's possible,
Yeah.
but he pops out with
Anyway.
some paranormal powers.
Yeah. So basically, like, he has a short conversation with them where they're just repeating all of what he was saying to them, right? So you understand that what I did was for the good of the country. And they're like,
What you
you
did was
did
for the
was for
good
the
of the
good of
country.
the country. Yeah. So, and I guess he's just further brainwashing them at that point. But from there, then we got kind of get montage-y, and just, I suppose, in a way of just kind of explaining how it all happened. Just like, how many hands did he touch? Their clammy, sweaty palms all reaching for him. If he could offer them absolution from their banality. So, again, love this stuff. How many minds did he clutch, twisting and rupturing their poverty of thought? How many people did he reshape, remold, remodel, and recast in the light of truth? The truth according to Voight, John Voight. I mean, no, Philip Nolan Voight. And this is the part where I liked, so you got 73% of the popular vote and won all but four states. It says not bad for what started out as such a lousy year. He'd lost the clinic and lost his power base. He had lost hope, right? So I like that, because then that, he really was kind of faking it, that like this was my plan all along when he was talking to Randy and Dave. And
That's right. Yeah,
it's
he really kept his positive side up there. Yeah. Oh
yeah.
no, that was totally what I was planning all along. I knew you guys would take over and then destroy it, which is also what I wanted. Yes, good job.
Yeah.
Also me.
And then it says, let it rain tragedy, let him reign in sin. Then a white light erupted over Pittsburgh, and a black cloud parted from the parted. The foul light cast from tragedy showed Voight the way. Right. And so this is like a call back to when he's originally talking to Randy and Dave when they confront him back at the clinic, right? Because he kind of like tells his story, how he was climbing the, he was a professor, but he'd like to challenge. So he's climbing a mountain when the white event happened. And he says, for what seemed, this is from the old comic, number 12, says, what seemed like an eternity, my mind was filled with visions and voices. I suddenly knew everything there was to know about life. I knew the meaning of everything. And when the light faded, so did his cosmic consciousness. And then ultimately, he's saying, The future of the human race is paranormals. It's our destiny as paranormals to inherit the earth. Right. So that was kind of his original plan. But then I wonder if this was like the black event. Did he get like a slightly more twisted version of what happened to him? Right. So, like another flash, right? Another event. And then he sees everything again, but maybe in a slightly more evil way, right? Whereas before he was kind of, let's shepherd the paranormals because we are going to inherit the earth. Maybe it's more like us paranormals are going to destroy everybody else or something,
That's a real
That's my
interesting.
fan theory for right now.
Nice, nice. Yeah, I was trying to piece this together a little, with the white event and then the black event, because like he's kicked out of the clinic, but the clinic isn't destroyed till after the black event. So I'm not sure if there's like a him do it with some other plan, because it seems like, then the black event. It's about where he gets, oh, this plan. So
Yeah.
yeah, maybe that is kind of a,
I kind of assumed he just moped around for a while until.
hey man, what you doing? Nothing, don't talk to me, I don't want to hear about it. I'm going on sabbatical. Okay, just get off my back, man, get off my back.
Right. And then, I mean, from there, it's again, it's just kind of more, I don't know. It's not his monologue, but it's just like talking about him as this relentless political force. He will be their thought. He will be their direction. Only he can lead them to the light of truth. Only he can take them to the top of the mountain where the light shone so bright. Right. So again, kind of reference to the climbing thing. And all these images of like regular folks, I guess. It's like it feels a little bit like those cheesy like 9/11 commemorative Marvel comics, where it was like a firefighter standing next to a paramedic, standing next to a police officer, all just kind of posing.
I don't know, and yeah, having a priest is a little like you're not you don't see that so much anymore. But
Yeah, a
the
priest, a construction
diverse,
worker, a doctor,
whatever,
a guy with a hat.
diverse America,
Some brown
normies,
people, I don't know. And it ends with a big panel of just kind of like his creepy face, I guess. He's giving the acceptance speech, I suppose. He says, "My fellow Americans, I stand before you tonight, a humble man, a man who's indebted to each and every one of you for the resounding vote of hope you have given to the future of this country. I know the road recently traveled has been a dark and desperate one. I know the road is now muddled and confusion rends your souls." I'm like, geez, man, that's a little heavy. Confusion rends our souls. But
He's a
together we
college
will travel
professor.
the road to tomorrow, a road of hope and prosperity. And together we will see the light, and we will reach for the light, and the light will be ours. Okay, all right. It's not creepy. Your mandate today, the trust you have shown in me shall not go unrewarded. No, indeed, the great reward awaits us all. Okay, man, getting a little dark. And you can rest assured that I will take you there. Okay. Well, hopefully they're brainwashed enough that they can't read between the lines of what he's saying there, because it's not that subtle. And then it ends with today, Tuesday, November 8th, 1988. Philip Nolan Voigt was elected president of the United States. The sun will still rise tomorrow, and maybe, just maybe, the day after that, also, or maybe not. And then the beginning instead of the end.
Ooh. Yeah, there's, I mean, the creepiness factor kind of builds, but he says that he will be the light no matter how many candles must be extinguished in the process. He must be the light everyone turns to. So you
Right.
get the feeling there's like he's either willing or planning on, if it kills half the people, that's fine. If we get this other thing that I want, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Thanos
So,
again, I guess. This would be before Infinity, the Infinity Gauntlet stuff, though, right? That
I
was
want
the
to
early
say
90s.
yes. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah, the Thanos was like either dead or not active in the late 80s, and then yeah, the early 90s they popped up. Yeah, there's, I don't know, yeah, if there's like a specific plan or just like a I'm the boss now, but it's possible yeah, he's got a
Yeah, it sounds like a plan.
something.
I mean, the obvious thing would be he'd be setting up to start the war, but.
That's yeah. Yeah, the I don't know what to think. It is one of these like he's a character we've seen before and we get some insights, but something like this, you could also have like some of the other characters we've seen before and like them at the voting booth and
Right. Yeah, I mean at first glance it seems almost kind of pointless. Like, it's almost like the we'd get those pages from Andrew Chaser and like, the statement about the draft from Reagan and stuff, which just felt kind of like tacked on and such. And this was a little bit like that because there's not really anything going on. It's just a big narration with some images to back it up, but yeah, I thought it was interesting once I kind of like remembered his origin story and then how you can kind of tie it to that. And if intentional or whatever, at least it kind of might explain why he's a little bit crazier than he was before. Right.
Yeah, the thing it reminds me a bit of is a one of the early Doctor Who New Who seasons where I think like the Master had basically gotten himself elected the Prime Minister of England, and he's you don't really notice at first. There's like some background something about an election, and then like some name you don't recognize gets elected, and blah, everyone's like, yeah, whatever, whatever. And he's like, oh, wait, by the way, it's the Master. And you're like, oh, okay. The only thing we'd seen about Voight's like platform in DP7 was the slogan "Vote for Voight." So,
That is his platform, right?
yeah, it's like, yeah, it's very, my platform is you should elect me. Oh, okay. He's
Yeah,
very convincing, I guess. Anyway.
it works.
So let's
Well, the
see. That's
side
all.
of brainwashing. I'm still wondering if we're going to find out, like, if he's stealing powers from somebody. Like, has he got, like, somebody locked in his closet that he takes with him all the time? And. It just feeds occasionally, or
That would be interesting. It was an open question if he needed to be right in front of you to use your powers or something, or you could just. Yeah.
yeah,
They,
or like,
when
can
they
he,
confronted him, it was all right there. Yeah.
yeah, or how many he can use.
Although I gotta say, if there's like the person I expected to come back was Hackbarth. We've never seen Hackbarth come back.
Yeah, no, Hackbarth. Ekbarth doesn't have healing powers, I guess, so he wrecked himself up too good.
Oh well.
He had such great zingers, though. It would have been nice to see him again.
Yeah, just put him in the cabinet or something. Come on, man. I know this Cheney dude is, well, let's see. I guess the thing hanging over this is the solicit for the next issue of Starbrand.
Oh, right. Should we get to that?
So yeah, go ahead. Let's go ahead and read that
Yeah,
because
okay.
it's like,
It says your name under it, so you can have it.
oh, okay. Well, the Starbrand number 18. America has elected its first paranormal president, and he might even live long enough to take office if the all-powerful Star Baby doesn't reach him first. Written in pencil by John Byrne, 32 pages, Mando offset paper. Direct sales only $1.50.
Oh man, Star Baby's coming back?
Yeah, I mean that's two bad bits of information. One is that Star Baby keeps threatening to, or promising to leave the planet
I thought he
and
did
never
leave the
does.
planet,
Yeah.
but.
And so, well, let's hope to maybe it's Wilford Brimley. But yeah, that like they're it's going to be Starbrand and I guess Voight. That's like in a week or two, you know what I
Yeah,
mean?
that would be odd, oddly well timed, I guess. Like Starbrand's been such a mess of timing, it feels like, but
That's true. It's totally usually out of step with everything, but
yeah, I would hope
he.
that that doesn't just end the Voight storyline. Like,
That's the thing. It's like there has been months of hints and building up, and we finally get this, you know, big election, and he just gets into office,
yeah.
and it's like a week or two later.
Right. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen, so it could still all go fine, but yeah, I mean, that's kind of the problem of like, all right, well, we have infinitely powerful stupid baby, so you could just erase Voight and, you know, just do whatever.
Now the
So
Star Baby is the president of the United States, and you know, this gets just better and
President Star Baby.
better.
This is a wave of Star Baby's hand, and Voight collapses into a pile of Mando offset paper, and just all right, that's the end of that storyline.
Oh, so
Something
yeah, I
about
don't.
isn't there like a chubby guy out there that got turned into Gorbachev somewhere? Like, does he factor into this at all?
So many
Do they
questions.
become best friends, Voight and
Was
Gorbachev paranormal? I don't know.
Reagan was going to be immortal? I don't
Right,
know. I was
face
hoping.
changing Reagan's comes in with like two M16s in his hands and takes out the Star Baby.
You can just call me Reagan Dukakis. I don't think we if we didn't point it out, Michael Dukakis is accepts the vice presidency.
Right, yeah.
So, okay. So there, he's around, whatever, still.
Got them Senate tiebreakers.
Very respectable position historically, I guess.
Yeah. I don't recall really anything standing out to me about the official timeline of the new universe.
I know that, I mean, a lot of the DP7 side characters, you know, like they arrive at the clinic. So it's like Sally Gallagher, shock, enters the clinic, placed in therapy group B. Okay.
Yeah, that's like maybe too much detail.
Yeah, I mean, those were fine, but we've got Night Mask number 3 again. The Jack Magnacondy founds
Bounce kickers,
the
ink, yeah.
Kickers Inc. Yeah, so that takes a couple days. There's the earlier thing where he gives up on trying to use his brother Steve's machine, the
Yeah. It
intensifier.
doesn't even name drop poor Steve, though. He just calls his murdered brother's intensifier. So.
Spitfire number 3. So yeah, all these other characters are like from DP7 annual still.
Maybe we should have, like, when we got to like an exciting part of an issue or something like that, like, time to step into the intensifier for these pages, and like had like some gimmicks going on or something, some buzzing
Some
sounds,
sounds,
and the
yeah.
sound effects come out. Helicopter, whoosh, doo -doo 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 -doo, intensified.
You
What could
know,
have been?
now that we actually know how to do a podcast, we should go back to the beginning and start over again.
All right, yeah, reboot.
It's an open question whether we actually do know anything at this point, but
We could just, and we could like twist the stories that we're telling and kind of like lie about what's happening to change the outcome.
even better. We
There
will have. That'll be the Now universe,
you
and
go.
we'll sell
There
it.
you
Sell it.
go. All right. Anything else for today? Or should we exit the intensifier?
Exxon out of here.
Yeah. All right. So that's it for this week. Next time we'll check in on Starbrand. We already read you what Starbrand's a little about. In the meantime, kickersinc.com, newuniversepodcast@gmail.com. This has been the voice of the new universe in the intensifier, and we'll see you back at the spinner rack.
It's your universe, idiot.
It was only supposed to make a buzzing noise. Intensified.
I just looked back at what I wrote without thinking. Love.
I said, bend over now.